WTVK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump now threatening to put a 25% tariff on Apple products unless, he writes on social media, iPhones are manufactured in the United States. The threat could dramatically increase the price of iPhones, potentially hurting the profits of one of the country's most successful technology companies. President Trump also threatening the European Union with 50% tariffs beginning on June 1st because, he writes, trade talks are stuck, stock futures plummeting on all that. A fifth round of nuclear negotiations underway between the U.S. and Iran, the talks happening in Rome. Memorial Day travel underway. 40 million people could be on American roads this weekend.
According to the experts over at INRIX, the time to drive is before 11 a.m. 12 to 8 p.m. today, expected to be the worst times on the road in terms of traffic.
ABC's Matt Rivers. Memorial service held last night for the young couple shot and killed outside the Capitol Jewish Museum in Washington, D.C. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Days after announcing her candidacy in the 2026 Wisconsin Supreme Court election, Judge Chris Taylor has received the endorsement of three current justices and Justice-elect Susan Crawford. Justices Rebecca Dallet, Jill Karofsky, and Janet Protasiewicz all expressed their support for Judge Taylor, highlighting her experience and commitment to ensuring everyone in the state gets a fair hearing under the law. Judge Taylor currently serves on the Court of Appeals and will challenge incumbent Justice Rebecca Bradley for the state Supreme Court seat. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers shared a letter he sent to the Trump administration in an effort to protect the state's forests and forestry industry. According to a press release, the forestry products industry helps support around 126,000 jobs and contributes an estimated $42 billion to the state's economy. Wisconsin ranks first in paper production among all 50 states and exports over $850 million worth of paper products each year. The letter urges cooperation and protection for federal forestry programs. A number of Ashland businesses are teaming up for a PB&J drive as county officials see a growing number of food insecure households. A local nonprofit, the Brick Ministries, says they've seen a 15% increase in the number of people taking advantage of their food pantry in the last year. At the same time, federal funding for food assistance programs is in danger. Any local residents or businesses interested in participating in the PB&J drive can drop off their donations at Holden Insurance Agency or Ashland Ford Chrysler until June 1st. Construction work is officially underway on the canal near the Lake Superior Maritime Visitor Center. Officials say the construction work is meant to improve a shoreline protection system and connect the lake walk with the pier. The project is expected to cost over $3 million with funding through the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. The Maritime Visitor Center and most of the pier area will remain open during construction. Work is scheduled to wrap up for the season in November, with some final work scheduled for next summer if needed. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers sink the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Pirates 8-5. After a nearly two-hour rain delay during the sixth, the Brewers started Aaron Civale, then right-hander Carlos Rodriguez came in and managed to continue pitching after the long delay, Pat Murphy.
You know, it feels like Civale pitched yesterday, but to be able to pitch after that delay, to delay almost 2 hours and have the mental capacity in his first outing of the year in the big leagues, get his first major league win, he deserves it.
NFL, the Packers' annual charity softball game is tonight in Grand Chute, Wisconsin.
I know the fans are a big part of this game. They show out every year and pack that stadium out, so hopefully we can get as many fans as possible out there. It's going to be another awesome event, another awesome year. I know the players are excited to, you know, show off their softball skills. We've been working and training very hard. Come out, bring the family. It'll be an awesome event to be able to watch the Packer players play a different sport.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have a really nice Memorial Day weekend on the way with plenty of sunshine, mid-60s Saturday, upper 60s on Sunday and Memorial Day. Maybe a few sprinkles later Memorial Day, but overall really nice. Today, sunshine with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home. We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Eber's budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we update all the latest news, lightening things up in hour number two. We talk to the Madison Mallards and Tyler Moss from Milwaukee Record. I hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Everybody travel safe. Take a moment to remember the real reason behind the weekend. Enjoy your family and friends. Eat too many brats. And tune in this afternoon to the Todd Alba Show. Live from my back deck here on Lake Wissota. What could possibly go wrong? Going to be a good time from 2 to 4 today. A lot coming up here. We're going to continue our series of interviews with the three candidates for state Democratic Party chair. We had Devin Remicker on Wednesday, Joe Zepecki yesterday, William Garcia on in our next half hour to get one more round of conversations with them to ask why Democratic Party members in county parties all across the state, when they gather in Wisconsin Dells next month, should pick them to succeed Ben Wickler, who's stepping down as a state Democratic Party chair. And, of course, it's Friday, so we've got Dr. Kristen Lyerly here, too. So we'll talk about things in the news health-wise and a couple of important health notes, especially dealing with pregnancy. So we have the official OBGYN of the show here to talk to us all about that. First, the official meteorologist for the show is here to talk about the sunshine. And Kristen, you said the nicest thing about Brittany when you first woke up this morning.
It was just the truth. I woke up and I looked out the window and there was beautiful, bright sunshine coming in. And the first thing I thought was Brittany Merlot.
How great is that? It's like these two little rays of sunshine here.
Well, she also gets it when it's raining, too. So, I mean, it's both sides.
So you got it. Yeah, you got it. You got to give it to her that way. And again, we're all acknowledging it certainly could be warmer. But if it's going to be, you know, cool and sunny versus normal temperatures and rainy, I think we know where most of us are going to come down on that, Brittany.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. I mean, we can deal with the frost advisories far up north, probably still again tonight and then Saturday night before those stop. And I think our temperatures are going to warm up enough to where frost is no longer a concern. So, yeah, paddling a crisp morning for a ton of sunshine, I'll take the trade. We do have warmer temperatures on tap by next weekend. But for this weekend, we're just going to sit here nice and comfortable, bright and beautiful, calm winds, and no rain in the forecast until Tuesday. Maybe places far northwest could see some rain trying to move in late Monday night. But otherwise, we're looking at sunshine on repeat, temperatures slowly getting more mild. We'll be in those mid-50s far east by Lake Michigan and far north today to about the low 60s far west. And then tomorrow, we're going to put that on repeat. Then by Sunday, Monday, we're looking at mid to upper 60s, a few 70s across the state. And we're going to hold that into next week. And like I said, getting even warmer after that. But I'll take the dry conditions, comfortable conditions, and a good long weekend. I'm excited.
I like that. Nice, comfortable, breezy, and beautiful sunshine on repeat.
Yes.
Let's just put that forecast on repeat. That would work
Could
out
we?
Really well. Yeah.
So plus you mentioned 10 degrees.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Add that. That would be a good part. You mentioned that you're going to have family that you're hosting this weekend. Are you going to be doing some grilling for that?
Oh, yes. We're definitely going to be grilling. We're going to be having a campfire, too. That fire danger is finally low across the state, so you can do that without worry. So we're going to cook some meals on the fire. Oh, we love doing that kind of stuff. What else? Probably doing some kayaking. Swimming. A little too cold for that.
Yeah, well.
But, of course, you know, exploring the great outdoors. What about you guys?
Having just come off vacation, we're going to take it really easy. We're still kind of catching up on the jet lag, you know, going to bed a little earlier than we normally would, trying to get that body clock back on track here. So a lot around the house, because there's been so much to jump into back here. I haven't really fully unpacked yet. There's still a suitcase.
Seriously.
And well, we did the laundry, but then there's so much laundry to put away. You don't even want to know what the closet looks like right now. But there's going to be some grilling. There's going to be a little fire pit going. And the pontoon's in, so maybe we'll just put on a hoodie and go for a little jaunt that way. Kristen, how about you? Are you going to be doing big plans or relaxing things?
Well, after that, I think I'm going to come to Lake Wasota and bring a pack of brats. And when should I be there?
Well, Todd's show starts at 2, so as soon as you can get in the car, the better. You
know? All right, I got to go. I'm kidding.
Good. No,
Kristen, pick me up. Let's go.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm liking it. The more, the merrier. And Parker, you said you are calling a baseball game.
Yeah, calling Super Regionals at UW-Whitewater tomorrow, and then I think possibly doing some of my aunt and uncles on Memorial Day. Yeah.
Super Regionals? What is that?
Super Regionals, yeah. They changed the format a couple of years ago. So now Super Regional, if you win that, you go to the Final 8, which is the College World Series.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Gotcha.
They're getting close.
This is a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they're like number 3 in the country, so we're hopeful. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Let's see. Robin Tigerton coming down. I forgot to mention I have a new job for the Village of Tigerton watering plants along Main Street. So that's great. And he wants to second the notion that Kristen and Brittany are sunshine even on the dark and dreary days. Thank you, Rob, for that. Always appreciate the comments. And Brittany, you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Take it easy. Hey, you can always get our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. We have our daily newsletter. We have our new Sunday morning newsletter that I write with a look at the week in Wisconsin politics. And there's a sports newsletter that Christina Laurier is putting together once a month. And I was looking at her social media posts this week, and they include a note about another hike in ticket prices if you want to see UW women's volleyball. But well, yeah, that's costing more money. It is also a reflection of the success of the program and also the whole name, image, licensing thing where college athletes are, you know, getting paid now. So a general admission season ticket that cost $60 back in 2021 and $150 last year will now be $225 in the new season. So, again, another chunk of change, but to see a team that is one of the very best in the country. So, for more sports stories like that from Christina Laurier, sign up for that newsletter as well over at upnorthnewswi.com. Kristen, I want to talk to you in a bit about, you know, RFK Jr. and the terrible impact on American health that it portends. But there were two notes on the calendar, kind of these National Awareness Days, and I thought it was a good opportunity to talk about pregnancy and women's health. And so we're going to cover both of them. I think it was Wednesday was World Preeclampsia Day, which deals with high blood pressure. And then today happens to be International Day to End Obstetric Fistula. And that one says here, it's an international day to spread awareness about a childbirth-related injury that affects women primarily in poor economic regions. Medically, it's described as a hole in the birth canal that occurs due to prolonged labor without medical intervention and other factors during childbirth. The United Nations Population Fund says obstetric fistula is one of the most severe and tragic injuries that can occur during childbirth. I was not as aware of that as I was preeclampsia. And again, it's not to scare people, but I feel like we always have to remind people pregnancy is not the easiest thing for people, and does not always have the Norman Rockwell kind of outcome.
No, I think we tend to have this very sunny idea of what pregnancy is. It's joyful, there's a baby involved, and in many cases that is true, but there are lots of things that can go wrong. Preeclampsia is actually fairly common in the United States. It's always associated, almost always associated with a blood pressure issue. It's a blood vessel issue. So it can present in lots of different ways. There can be vision changes. It can be a terrible headache. It can be a liver problem or problems with your kidneys. But regardless, we tend to see this toward the end of pregnancy. And the cure is to deliver the baby. Because once the baby is out, people tend to get better. Having said that, though, people can develop preeclampsia after the baby is out because of pregnancy-related and hormonal changes. So this is one of the reasons why we need care for our moms in the postpartum period. Women can die of preeclampsia, of high blood pressure issues in the postpartum period. This is complex. It is probably the most studied condition associated with pregnancy, and we haven't figured it out yet. I don't think there's one thing that causes it, but this is the reason why towards the end of your pregnancy, we have you come back so often to check your blood pressure, and we're so careful about asking about headaches and weird symptoms, because it is fairly common, especially in this country.
Yeah. So between that and the obstetric fistula, it again, just the, I can't underscore enough being married to an OBGYN as well. Don't skip those appointments. I mean, now for Sherry, she'll say, well, when they have a no-show, I've got extra time to dictate my charts. I mean, there's that. But you'd much rather have that person in and continue to be monitored and to get prenatal care at all. There's still a troubling number of people who come in and say, yeah, I've been pregnant for the past, 38 weeks. I couldn't afford to come in or whatever until now. It still happens.
Right. I couldn't get that. People have so many barriers to care, which is why we need to reduce the number of barriers. And actually, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists is changing the way that we deliver prenatal care. Right now, and for a very long time, it's been come in every month until you get to the middle of your pregnancy, and then it's every 2 weeks, and then it's every week after that. Well, now we're starting to look at things like telehealth and what is your general health? What are your risk factors? How often do you actually need to come in? Can we send you home with a blood pressure cuff so you can check your blood pressure at home? So we've really reimagined how we deliver prenatal care so that it works for our patients and removes barriers, especially in a time when people are really struggling to get access to health care in places like rural areas.
And again, it underscores the notion of why you need that Medicaid expansion for increased coverage for women postpartum instead of 60 days to 1 year. And 48 states have done it, just us in Arkansas. And in both cases, you've got Republicans in those states that are blocking it. Not all Republicans. In Wisconsin's case, it's one Republican. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is stopping that measure from coming up for a vote, which would pass overwhelmingly if it did. And we say that again because you really can't pester your legislator enough nicely to say, get this bill passed, get the speaker to put it up for a vote.
Yeah, and to be honest, in Arkansas, they at least did some things. They didn't pass postpartum extension, but they did some things to make it easier for moms to get care. And in Wisconsin, we've done nothing. In fact, we're making it harder for them to get birth control. We're making it harder for them to get abortion care. We're making it harder for women to get postpartum care. And let's talk about childcare. We're making it impossible for people to get childcare. At no point in the spectrum of getting pregnant, having a baby, or taking care of your children are Republicans making it easy for us.
No. And that, again, it's incredible to think that that caucus, which has women in it and all the women that they represent, that they still stand in the way of women's health in this way. But that is exactly what they're doing. So that's why we continue talking about expanding Medicaid coverage, that it isn't just some kind of welfare handout, that this is good public policy that, again, is happening everywhere else but here. So, Kristen, thank you for telling us more about that. I want to tell folks before we get to the break that you can win Milwaukee Brewers tickets. It's Friday. We're going to be doing this most Fridays throughout the season. Text a keyword. Each Friday we'll give you one that you text in using the Civic Media app. And then one entry is drawn statewide to win four tickets to a specific game. In this case, it's next Tuesday's game against the Boston Red Sox. Four tickets to next Tuesday's game if you text the word radio using the Civic Media app, radio, R-A-D-I-O. If you do that, you will be in the running for potentially winning four tickets to next Tuesday's game. The Brewers were winners 8-5 in Pittsburgh last night, and they will do it again this evening. Pre-game coverage starts at 5:05 on several Civic Media radio stations. Then they'll play Pittsburgh again Saturday and Sunday. Still ahead this hour, William Garcia, candidate for state Democratic Party chair. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Senator Tammy Baldwin presses EPA head Lee Zeldin on Great Lakes funding at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The exchange came just 1 week after Clean Wisconsin, the Healing Our Waters Coalition, and Alliance for the Great Lakes met with Baldwin to stress the importance of fully funding the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Zeldin ended up going on record saying the protections would be funded. Wisconsin's muskie season is here. Northern muskie season opens May 24th and runs through the end of the year. This is the 70th anniversary of the muskellunge being proclaimed our official state fish back in 1955. The biggest muskie ever caught was in 1949 near Hayward, weighing in more than 69 pounds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
State Democratic Party chair candidate William Garcia joins us in just about 15 minutes here on these mornings across the Civic Media Radio Network. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here now in her, that's the Green Bay Packer shirt, I assume, a green shirt.
No.
Oh, no?
Green Bay Bicycle Collective.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. And then you've got your green thumb because you had your mulch. And now you've got your green journal that every OBGYN gets out, your Green Bay Packer mug. You're just all green.
Mm-hmm.
All green. Yeah. The journal that we were talking about, pregnancy and health and everything, and there's more stuff than anybody could possibly take in, but you try to take in what you can. The Journal of the American Medical Association, the Obstetrics and Gynecology Journal that you were holding up right now. There's no shortage of, you know, peer review cases that you have to do. There is so much behind the scenes, not just going to med school, but everything beyond that, which is why I think when you hear us with a certain tone in our voice that just some politician can come in and say, I know what's best, why it really gets under the skin of doctors and patients and allies and everybody like that. And it just, again, doesn't make sense that any politician who often does not represent a majority of their constituents, you know, because so many people don't vote. It just, it gets to you sometimes, Kristen. And
yeah,
I'm glad to have you here to bounce it off of.
Thanks. It gets to me. I mean, RFK, I don't know if you saw his testimony with Susan Collins where he was doing all this finger pointing. He was testifying in the Senate and he was blaming her for all the years of the American culture that where they perpetuated bad things for our health. And I was thinking, buddy, you were in the Senate too, as all this stuff was happening. And yeah, we have issues in this country. There is no question. We need cleaner water. We need safer food. We need better environments for our health. Our health is holistic, but his perspective on vaccines and his approach to the measles outbreak, I think, has been really scary. And again, I'm waiting for that to come barreling down on us as we see more and more measles cases popping up in a state like Wisconsin, where we are so profoundly under vaccinated. But it's not just that, it's whooping cough. We're seeing record numbers of whooping cough as that's on the rise. There are so many things that we're just at the beginning stages of because he's not serious about our public health. And I'm incredibly concerned. Science, medicine, we've got to stay up with that. As physicians, we've got continuing education we've got to do. We've got to know what's happening in the world because things are always changing. But that is not something that RFK is on top of. And again, he doesn't have the health and well-being of the public in mind.
No. When he says that he's going to put out these recommendations about chronic disease and the health of the food supply, there is just no level of credibility or trust there to say that it will be anything other than something that will continue to set back food safety and good nutrition and, you know, promote a lot of quackery, quite frankly, all in the name of fighting things that he's just speaking. How do I say this properly on the radio? Out one's tush, shall we say, about the way that this goes. And again, these are generational things. It takes a long time to build something. It takes much less time to tear it down. A culture of getting vaccinated against disease, getting off of oil and coal, immigrant labor. I mean, we're going to face a generation here of, a worker shortage as a result. The war on education, this latest thing against Harvard and saying you can't take in international students. Those international students we were already in danger of not getting them anyway because they're worried that they're going to get murdered, you know, because of our gun culture here. Now with the political culture, we're going to continue to see international students go away. That was, frankly, Kristen, our only hope for getting doctors in rural areas, was continuing to educate and train students from overseas who wanted to come to the U.S. who now don't think so strongly about coming to the U.S.
We have a profound lack of physicians and qualified providers, even PAs and nurse practitioners, to work in rural areas. It's not going to get any better. And then when you look at these Medicaid cuts and the impact that will have on rural hospitals, half of rural hospitals across the country right now are living hand to mouth. They are not making ends meet, and they depend on Medicaid. So when Medicaid funds start to go away, they aren't going to be able to keep their doors open. And that means that people who live in those areas where I've worked in places where the hospital is the biggest employer, people go there for lunch. They go to visit their friends in the long-term care facility, and that is like the hub of the community. If that hospital goes away, that town dies. The economy withers, and then where do people go? So this, the impact of the decision that was made yesterday and what happens after that could be absolutely profound, especially in our rural communities where they're already struggling.
What is coming up this weekend on the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show?
Oh, Pat, I'm so excited. We're talking about childcare. So right. I've got Mayor Ryan Sorensen from Sheboygan. We've got Mike Close, one of the elders, Leah Hibble. She's on the school board there. And Angel Berry, she runs a daycare center that does beautiful work in Sheboygan. We talk about childcare counts, what it's going to mean for them, both from a provider perspective and a parent perspective, and actually from an economic perspective across the city of Sheboygan. It's an awesome episode. Strongly encourage that you tune in. WGBW, WISS, 3:00 tomorrow and Sunday, and on the Civic Media app.
That's right. Got to use that app, that same app where you can text in radio right now for your chance to win Brewers tickets. 4 tickets to next Tuesday's game. Go to civicmedia.us to learn more about the rules. I was flying back from Portugal on Monday. Next Monday is Memorial Day, a holiday. So having you here today, it finally feels completely like I'm back home now. I'm back into all my usual routines, all my friends that I'm reconnecting with. So thank you for making a little time here before what I hope is a really relaxing weekend.
I hear you saying that I complete you.
You most certainly do, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk next Friday then.
Sounds great.
Unless, of course, you show up here, you know, in the next few hours.
I mean, you know, I got a great room way in my to wrap car. Up.
Yeah.
I got brats in the fridge. Let's go.
Todd Alba and I would be ready. I'll take the boat out just for that. See you later.
See ya.
All right. Coming up next, William Garcia will talk about his race for State Democratic Party chair. Thanks again for joining us here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Following another mild winter in Wisconsin, an environmental group says nearly every city they've studied has seen increasing average summer temperatures over the last 50 years. According to a WPR report, Climate Control recently released an analysis of National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration data since 1970, which showed an average temperature increase of over 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit in the summers. Milwaukee was among the cities that the group studied and has seen an average summer temperature increase of nearly 3.5 degrees. Following a statewide tour highlighting his administration's accomplishments in workforce development, Governor Tony Evers has renewed calls for support from the state legislature. Republican state lawmakers removed over 600 measures from the governor's proposed budget, including investments in apprenticeship programs, the Worker Connection Pilot Program, and the Workforce Innovation Grant Program. During the tour, Governor Evers also highlighted a new lawsuit against the Trump administration seeking to stop cuts to AmeriCorps. Kids' Night at the Rice Lake Speedway has been rescheduled for tomorrow night. The event was originally scheduled for last Saturday, but severe weather in the forecast forced Speedway officials to cancel the event. All of the Kids' Night activities were postponed to this week, including letting the kids go out on the racetrack, meet the drivers, and get a behind-the-scenes look at the cars. The event will also feature over 130 prize packages for kids. Interested residents can find more information on the Speedway's website or social media pages. The Hayward Community School Board voted to approve an increase in lunch prices for the next school year. At their meeting on Monday, the school board received a report from the district food service provider, finding about 43% of students were getting school breakfast and 55% were getting school lunch. With increasing costs combined with things like absences and snow days, the food service provider reported a roughly $100,000 loss. Price increases will range from about $1.50 to nearly $3 for students. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a really nice Memorial Day weekend on the way with plenty of sunshine, mid-60s Saturday, upper 60s on Sunday and Memorial Day. Maybe a few sprinkles later Memorial Day, but overall really nice. Today, sunshine with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's an all-star pre-recorded cast of guests with WBAY's Emerson Lehman, director Michael Collins, Civic Media's Eliza Cussin, and Terry Barr for Bar Band Friday Night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back on this Friday morning, May 23rd, 2025. This is Up North. This is what was once called Up North News Radio. See, this is what Jane Matinair does, is all this time that I have been saying that the thing that used to be called Twitter, I now need to call this the thing that used to be called Up North News Radio. We are hoping to hear from William Garcia, candidate for state party chair, in just a sec. I had to email him the correct link. We changed links when we moved to a three-hour radio show here. Otherwise, like all of our other guests, they'll sometimes give us a call at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And we talk to guests over the phone that way as well sometimes when that's what has to happen. But that's okay, because it gives me a moment to tell you that you can text the keyword radio to us using the Civic Media app. We have stations and shows all across the state that on Fridays during the Brewers season are going to be giving away four packs of Brewers tickets to specific upcoming games. And so you have to listen to this show, to Matt and Air on Air, to Tom Hartman, to Todd Alba, to Maggie Dawn, all the usual suspects. And if you do that, then you can get that keyword, which today is radio, text it to us through the Civic Media app. We pick one randomly, and it's four tickets, in this case, to next Tuesday evening's game versus the Boston Red Sox. Get the complete rules over at civicmedia.us. All right, with that business out of the way, let's talk and check in now with William Garcia, candidate for state Democratic Party chair, who joins us from, I'm sure, beautiful La Crosse County, I'm guessing, William?
Absolutely.
Hey, good morning.
It's gorgeous.
Thank you for being here. Always appreciate it. How goes the run? Again, three candidates in the race. This is our second time through talking to all the candidates. We've come through the Congressional District Democratic Party conventions, all the county party meetings you've had to go to. What's your view of how things are going so far?
Well, I think things are going great. I've had an amazing time going to all of the county, going to all the CD conventions, talking to people about what I want to do with the party, where I think the party needs to go. And I'm hearing a lot of support. In fact, I'm actually really proud that both of the other candidates have kind of altered their platform somewhat to be a little more aligned with mine. Because of what I've been saying and how much it's how people are responding to it in terms of the need to strengthen and grow county parties. That's now a part of kind of everyone's pitch. And I'm really happy for that. And I'm going to continue going forward and talking about the need to focus on our local county parties, on our other local organizations in order to grow and build them, because that is how we're going to bring in support for 2026.
I'm not in any way, shape or form taking credit for what you're just saying there about county parties, only to say that I, like you, have been part of a chorus for the past, I don't know how many years, talking about the need for the state Democratic Party in this case. And again, the Republican Party has its own infrastructure debates like this, but that the state party needs to both listen. It works both ways. Listen to the people in those local county parties and also provide them with the resources they need rather than top down management of the party. And so when you tell me that, you know, you're saying that and that you're hearing that from the other candidates as well, I think that that only bodes well writ large for yep. not just the entire Wisconsin Democratic Party, but for, you know, voters who aren't just in the big Democratic strongholds.
Yeah, and that's what the way that we are going to flip the assembly seats that we need to flip in order to get a majority in 2026. The way that we're going to get the Senate seats and retain the governorship is by decreasing the margin of Republican support in smaller counties and rural areas. This is the path to victory. And that path goes directly through county party organizations. County parties need to be trusted that they know best how to organize in their neighborhood and how to talk to people in their county. We need to start treating county party officials like the experts they are in their neighborhoods. And that is really the basis behind my campaign. I'm the only candidate who has worked as a county party chair. I'm the only candidate who's a CD chair. I'm the only candidate who's coming from this system. And that means I'm really the only chair that knows exactly what the problems are with the kind of top-down DPW organization as it is right now and how to fix them.
Let's talk as well about the development this week. We had Devin Remicker on Wednesday, who had just received the endorsement from outgoing chair Ben Wickler. Joe Zepecki reacted to it yesterday. So let me ask your reaction as well to Ben Wickler deciding to make an endorsement in this race and doing so for Devin Remicker.
Sure. I was kind of expecting it, to be honest. I think Ben and Devin have worked closely for many, many years, and I think that's great. The problem is that this lack of focus on the county parties is a problem that we've had for many, many years. And so like I said, I really like Devin, but I am the person who's genuinely going to focus on county parties and maintaining and growing them because I have experienced the problems that we're having over the last 6 years. And I'm the one that can really come in and fix them. Ben and Devin should be extraordinarily proud of the growth and the progress and the strength of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. I'm proud of it as well. But what needs to be fixed in this current moment is this refocusing on county parties and other local organizations like our caucuses, like our Young Democrat chapters. And I am the person that can maintain everything that Devin and Ben have built while also fixing this one key issue.
It is an important thing about this race that we've all noticed is that obviously there are a lot of good things to say about Ben Wickler's tenure and certainly record, but that it wasn't perfect, that the party is not perfect. So how do you both acknowledge what's good, but also, you know, shine a light on what it is that needs to be changed? Well, go ahead, Willen.
Oh, I was just also going to say, I want to remind everyone that the Wisconsin Democrats are on the forefront in the country in terms of the strength of their party. The Wisconsin Democrats are stronger and more active than just about any Democratic Party in the country. And what that means is that we're often the first to do things. We are the vanguard. We are out in front on everything. And sometimes that means that we make mistakes because we don't have any examples to pull from. And so in this wonderful growth that Ben Wickler and Devin have built, we have left the county parties behind a little bit. And that's the thing that needs to be addressed right now.
I have to ask you about a hypothetical that may not come to be, but is going to be very important for the next chair if it does. And that deals with Governor Tony Evers, who has not made a decision yet on running for a third term. If he does not, the easiest guess to make that I'm about to make here is that much like in 2018, when he first ran, it was him and more than a dozen other Democrats running for governor. If Tony Evers decides not to run for a third term, there will almost certainly again be upwards of a dozen people running. Not the worst problem to have having a deep bench of talent, but I mean, it's almost a logistical nightmare trying to be fair. There's county chairs who are going to want to endorse somebody, but maybe they shouldn't, either because of county rules or state rules. I mean, let's face it, whether you get elected or not, if you stay active in the party, that is a bit of a minefield that Democrats have to be looking at if the governor decides not to run for re-election.
Well, and honestly, it's a minefield that I've experienced already, because here in the 3rd Congressional District, we have had strong, robust primaries with multiple candidates the last three cycles. So we are, I am experienced with working on that. My preference is always, and in fact, what I will be arguing and mandating as chair is that the state party should be providing resources and the infrastructure that helps every one of the candidates who wants to run for governor speak directly to voters without preference towards any one of them. I do not want a party that puts its finger on the scale in terms of trying to decide before the voter gets to decide who's going to be the who's going to win that primary. It's up to the voters. That kind of primary, it motivates our base. It brings out the best vision for the moment. And that's what a lot of primaries are. Primaries are not about which candidate do I, you know, really love or whatever. It's about, because they're all great. It's about who is presenting.
We're talking to William Garcia. He's a candidate for state Democratic Party chair. That decision will be made in Wisconsin Dells the middle of next month at the state Democratic Party convention, where, as the party announced yesterday, Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock will be the keynote speaker on the first night of the convention. And I'm sure, William, you agree that that's a pretty good get for a party that is plenty motivated, but wouldn't mind hearing from Senator Warnock as well.
That it's a wonderful get. I've been lucky enough to hear Senator Warnock speak in the past. He's an incredible speaker. Makes me a little, excited as well, because that means I'll actually be sharing a stage with Senator Raphael Warnock, because all three of the candidates also give small speeches that night in support for their campaigns. So I'll get to present with Senator Warnock.
The big news this week in terms of 2026 politics was that appeals court judge Chris Taylor is getting into the race for a state Supreme Court. We, of course, have to acknowledge that there may be more candidates. It is very early yet. But if this were to be the field with appeals court judge Taylor versus Justice Rebecca Bradley, you know, from the far right end of the Supreme Court bench, that is a, I guess all I'm saying is that would be a competitive race, and that's really what you're looking for, is a competitive race against a well-tenured state Supreme Court justice.
A competitive race against also the most extreme conservative candidate on the bench. That is, that's what we need to be thinking about. This race is not going to be the $100 million race that we had last year, because it is not going to flip the ideological makeup of the Supreme Court like the last two Supreme Court elections have done. So it's going to be, and that means that we need to be, again, my plan, focusing on growing and strengthening county parties, because our county party volunteers and our county party officials are going to be vital in getting the message out about Chris Taylor. Because again, the money that poured into Wisconsin the last two Supreme Court cycles will not be replicated, because the ideological makeup of the bench is not at stake.
We are talking to William Garcia. He's candidate for state Democratic Party chair. There are three candidates in the race, and that decision will be made by delegates at the state Democratic Party convention next month in Wisconsin Dells. And we've been very privileged to be able to go through two rounds of interviews with the candidates here so far, and we'll continue to talk about the issues that are important to it. Before we go to break, let me tell you that, again, we have a Brewers tickets giveaway. Text the keyword radio to us via the Civic Media app. There will be one entry drawn statewide to win four tickets to next Tuesday evening's game against the Boston Red Sox. You can get the complete rules over at civicmedia.us, and we will do this most Fridays throughout the course of the season. We'll pause here. I'm Pat Kreitlow, reminding you that keep that Pledge of Allegiance in mind this weekend. All of it, liberty and justice for all. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Summers in Worthington, Minnesota bring fun, and a good portion of that fun happens around our beautiful 800-acre Lake Okabena. Our community is built around it, and it has great walleye fishing and several lakeside parks. This June 13th and 14th, we'll have our Windsurfing Regatta and Music Festival. It's free. Come and see the windsurfers, eat from over a dozen food vendors, and attend free lakeside concerts on our professional city stage. This year featuring Viva Knievel and Cooper Allen. Check us out. We're Worthington, Minnesota, and we're certainly worth a look.
Mental health is healthcare. Self-care isn't selfish, and asking for help is a brave and powerful step. Mental health affects every one of us, regardless of age, race, or background. And yet stigma holds many people back from getting the support needed.
I grew up being called a worrywart, which I've now learned is anxiety.
Kira Sabin gets it. The Madison-based positive psychology coach says many times you just have to let it go.
A lot of the times the energy that we spend trying to control our environments is wasted because we're trying to control things we can't. We can't control the way other people react to us. And trying to just drives us crazy.
This Mental Health Awareness Month, let's break the silence, build understanding, and create a world where mental wellness is a priority for everyone. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Ohio State, and more. From the first touchdown to the fifth quarter, game days in Madison are packed with excitement, tradition, and unforgettable memories. Seats and tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot and make sure you don't miss a moment of the action next season. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS to secure your seat today. Wisconsin football game day starts here, and we'll see you at Camp Randall.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Next week on the program, well, for Monday, it'll be a holiday, Memorial Day, so we'll have some of our best of segments that we've aired over the past couple of weeks here. On Tuesday, we'll have author Laura Bird, and she will talk to us about upcoming summer reads, some of her recommendations that you might want to take to the beach or wherever you're going this summer, and a bit more about how you can learn about the upcoming new books the way that she does. Dan Schaefer will be here on Tuesday as well. Oh, no, I take that back. Dan Schaefer will be on Wednesday of next week because he's taking an extended weekend. Also on Wednesday, we'll talk to Matt Brusky from Citizen Action, part of a coalition of groups that are going to urge Governor Tony Evers to veto a state budget bill if it does not make adequate investments into education and other important areas. Not just a line item veto. They want him to veto the whole bill and send it back and make the legislature start over if it's not up to certain standards. We'll ask Matt what those standards are and what would trigger that kind of an ask of the governor. And then on Thursday, money and markets news from Sean O'Malley, Melissa Baldoff with our climate check, and much more all throughout next week here on the program across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's continue our conversation now with William Garcia, candidate for State Democratic Party Chair out of the 3rd Congressional District and La Crosse County. And William, I kind of jumped into the state of the race and everything. And so for folks who might have missed it in the first go-round of interviews, I just want to ask the straight-up why you're running question 101. William Garcia, there are three candidates in this race. What makes you the best choice to be State Democratic Party Chair?
I'm running on a three-word platform: grow, persist, resist. And what that means is grow. I want to focus on growing and strengthening county parties and other local organizations like our Young Democrat groups, our College Democrat groups, as well as our DPW caucuses. I think in the explosive growth of WISDEMS over the last 6 years, these groups have been left behind a bit, and they need a lot more support, not just financial, but also in terms of infrastructure, communications, digital assistance. There are all sorts of things that county parties and these other local groups need. I especially want to focus on Young Democrats of Wisconsin. Here in the 3rd Congressional District, we have more college students than any other congressional district in the state. And that's and I've worked very closely with our college Dems to grow and expand their chapters. Here in La Crosse, we also have the only official chapter right now of Young Democrats of Wisconsin. And I want to make sure that we have Young Democrats chapters across the state, because that's how we're going to bring young people in, by empowering them and letting them talk about their issues and organize in ways that make sense to them. Persist means we're going to persist doing all the things DPW does wonderfully. The fundraising juggernaut that DPW is, we're going to keep going with that. Keeping a national media focus on Wisconsin, which drives our fundraising as well as motivates our volunteers. And this really strong connection between the governor, the assembly Democrats, the state Democrats, and DPW. So we're all working closely together to win that trifecta in 2026. And resist means that as chair, I will be the loudest voice in the room against the Trump agenda and Republican policies hurting Wisconsin families. I've been very disappointed in the lackluster response by national Democrats to the existential threat that is Trump. And as chair, I will spend every day calling out Republicans for the harm they're doing us and explaining to people why Democrats have a better way forward.
Let's take a moment then to go from the very highest level, state party chair, down to the local level of the newest members. People hear this, and I'm sure a lot of folks are not active in their local county parties. What does it mean to do that? If people keep hearing us talk about that and go, gosh, maybe I should look into my county. I didn't even know there was. Is there a county party in every county?
There is absolutely a county party in your area. We have county parties in every county. Some are small, but most are very robust, even in smaller counties, even in places that vote overwhelmingly Republican. You have very close to you a Democratic Party that is working closely and working on local issues in local areas. And joining really just means come to a meeting. Every one of our counties have a monthly meeting. And you can just show up. You don't need to be a member to walk in. You can just show up and see what we're doing. And county parties are responsible for organizing these meetings, but they're also responsible for, organizing the door knocking and the phone calling and the postcard writing that we do. They organize town halls and listening sessions. There is so much that these county parties do. And these county parties are really the front line connections with Wisconsin voters.
And by the way, again, like you said, it takes nothing to drop in and get to learn more about it. Yes, you can become a dues paying member, extremely affordable, all the various levels that are out there. But this is just that one more form of civic engagement that you can choose to do. There's many ways to do it, but I think more folks need to know they've got a county party that they can take part in.
And it is vital. And again, the county parties are truly where all of the amazing organizing happens with WISDEMS. It is these conversations that emanate out of the county party that really drive our voter persuasion, our voter engagement, and our voter turnout.
William Garcia, candidate for State Democratic Party Chair. It's really great to touch base with you again, William. Safe travels as you continue campaigning on your way to Wisconsin Dells next month, and we'll check in again real soon.
That sounds great. Have a great day, everybody.
All right. Thank you, William, again so very much. William Garcia and Devin Remaker and Joe Zepecki are the three candidates who are running for State Party Chair to succeed Ben Wickler. All right. Coming up next, we've got Matt and Air on Air. Jane and Greg will be along right after the news here. And then after Tom Hartman, you'll have, Todd Alba. And no lie, Todd Alba doing the show from right over here on the back deck overlooking Lake Wissota. We thought about doing a pontoon show. And that's not to say we might try a pontoon ride afterwards, but I think we're going to be nice to our engineering team and just have a nice stable signal from the back deck. So 2 to 4 today, the Todd Albus Show. My thanks to today's guests, William Garcia, Kristen Lyerly, Kia Vakil, Jennifer Scholze, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel, and of course to you for being here this morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. I'm the founding editor of Up North News. That's part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy newsroom, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. You can follow us on social media and sign up for our newsletter. Head to upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Tuesday morning here up north.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump is now threatening the European Union with a 50% tax on all imports and a 25% tariff on Apple products. The EU taxes because the president's not been able to reach a deal with European officials on trade, and the Apple taxes because he says he wants iPhones only made in this country. U.S. futures and global markets all sinking following the social media posts. President Trump headlining a big gala last night for investors in his cryptocurrency.
The guest list shrouded in secrecy. Among those spotted arriving at the event, retired NBA player Lamar Odom and Chinese billionaire and cryptocurrency mogul Justin Sun, who previously avoided entering the U.S. and was under investigation by the SEC and DOJ for securities fraud. After President Trump took office, the SEC probe was dropped, and he now claims to be the largest holder of the Trump coin.
ABC's Rachel Scott, first-degree murder charges filed against the man accused in the shooting of a couple outside the Capitol Jewish Museum this week. This is ABC News.